All right. Good morning. So the daf is this morning is sponsored by Eileen and Ken Krieger and family, and for the yard site of Laura Topper Lipka Fega Bas Chanoch, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah.
Amen.
Okay. So we left off yesterday. Tes Vav Amud Beis. So if you remember again, the Gemara was talking about the Gzeira of Klei Zchuchis, that Klei Zchuchis glass can become tame. So the Gemara says, why is it that glass can become tame? The Gemara compared it to a kli charis, to an earthenware vessel. Why? Because just like an earthenware vessel comes from the earth, so too does glass originally come from the earth. So the Gemara says, but if that's the case, then halacha lemaisa, you shouldn't be able to kasher glass. Or I should say, I don't want to use the word kasher, I shouldn't use the word kasher. I should use the word metaher, because we're not really talking about kashers, we're talking about tumah tahara, although there is an overlap, but we shouldn't be able to metaher, we should be able to purify a kli zchuchis, a glass utensil, just like you can purify a kli charis, an earthenware utensil. So why does the Gemara talk about then chatitos, things that interrupt between glass utensil and a mikvah, which seem to indicate that a glass utensil can be purified in the mikvah, to which the Gemara gave the answer, the glass utensil that the Mishnah is referring to is a glass utensil that had a hole, therefore lost its identity as a kli, had the hole plugged up with a piece of metal, and it reflects the position of Rabbi Meir, this sanya, these last three lines, this sanya, klei zchuchis shenikvu, if you had a glass utensil that got a hole in it, vehitif lesochan ever, and you poured lead into it, or metal into it, Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Amar Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Meir mitayer, v'chachamim mitarin. So Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that Rabbi Meir says that it's tamei. Rabbi Meir says that it's tamei, and the chachamim say that it is tar. Look at Rashi, mitamei, v'lo amrinon, batilei mitoras kli, kishar kli cheres hanishbar, v'kasavra holoch achar haman mit v'toras kli matachol salab. So they both say that under normal circumstances, when you have a kli cheres, sahalocha lemaisa, once you break that kli, so the kli loses its tamei status. What Rabbi Meir is saying is once you put that metal into it, that metal becomes a maimid, that metal becomes the item that establishes or that holds the kli together, and therefore Rabbi Meir's position is that the identity of a kli is after the maimid. The identity of the kli goes after the material that holds it together, in which case this will be considered to be a metal utensil. Elamei ato, says the Gemara, however, if that's the case, lo litamu migabon. So now the Gemara says, so let's go back to glass. So now, let's go back for a moment. So now the Gemara explained that the case where glass is able to be purified is the case where really the glass is actually treated like metal. So therefore, our first assertion is still correct, which is under normal circumstances, however, glass is treated like earthenware, like cheres. Elamei ata taf of tazayin, lo litmu migabon. Then why should glass become tamei on its outside? Excuse me, let me say differently. Glass should not become tamei on its outside. We'll say the halacha is that by a kli cheres does not become tamei if something touches the outside of the utensil. Although we will define what outside means in just a little bit. But Bepashos, it refers to the smooth outer surface of the kli. If that's the case, then glass also should not become tamei if, let's say, a tamei item touches the outside of the kli, like a kli cheres. Alomatnan, but why does it say kli cheres ukli nosar? So we'll say this nosar Rashi says over here, this Rashi says, is min adama levana, a type of white earth. So interestingly enough, there are three basic definitions that are given for this nosar. It's either natron, which is apparently a naturally occurring sodium carbonate, alum, or chalk. So it seems to me most opinions seem to go with the chalk, idea. Who seem to fit with Rashi saying min adama levana. Okay, we're not gonna give a whole shiur on neser, but kli cheres ukli neser tumasan shaveh. Their tumah is the same. How so? Mitamin umitamin. Right, they can become tamei and they can transmit tumah to others me'avirehem, from their airspace. Now, we'll say what's interesting about a kli cheres is the following. Take a look at Rashi just a moment. Mitamin umitamin me'avirehen, nitlis tuma ba'aviron nitma mina avir. Interestingly enough, with a kli cheres, and this is unique by a kli cheres can become tamei from its airspace, which means that if you went ahead and you put something tamei in the airspace of the kli cheres, even though what? the tameh item never touched the surface of the kli at all, the kli still becomes tameh. Kli still becomes tameh, Rashi says. And therefore, nitlis tumah ba'avir, nitla min ha'avir, chazer v'tala ochlin ba'aviran, mitamin es ha'ochlin. And here's what's even more interesting. So then, suppose I'll give you just a simple example. You have an earthenware vessel, you suspend a dead rodent, a dead mouse, into the airspace of the kli. The mouse never touches any part of the kli. The kli is tameh. But it gets even better. If you were to then to take a food item and suspend that food item into the airspace of the kli, the food item would then become tameh as a result of the kli as well. I'm reading Rashi. And even though these items never touch the surface of the kli becomes tameh. Why? D'chsiv kol asher besocho yitma. So the Gemara darshins that by the pasuk that says kol asher b'socho yitma, anything that comes within the kli, and the Gemara darshins that to mean even if it never comes to rest in the kli, but it's suspended in the airspace of the kli, the item is tameh. So the Gemara says like this: Alam etnan kli charis u kli neser tumasan shara mitamin u mitamin mi'avireyan. So they can both go ahead and become tameh and transmit tuma from their airspace. Umitamin me'acharehen, they can become tameh. Now, me'acharehen literally means from their back. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi again. Im nichnas tuma lusoch acharei mibachutz, b'makom chakok beis moshavam kiderach sha'osim l'kli'etz. So, well, so you know how the easiest way to illustrate this is like this. If you have like a becher, if you have a kiddush cup, I guess it could be with a wine glass also, but I think kiddush cup is a better example. If you have a kiddush cup with a base, so you know if you turn over that kiddush cup, right, there is a receptacle there in the base. The base is hollow. That's what's called me'achorehen. So the Gemara says a kli, because that's also called the base kibbol. That's also called the receptacle of the kli. So if you were to put some, even though that's not the primary receptacle of the utensil, if you were to put something in that base kibbol, if you were to put something in that receptacle, the kli could also become tameh like that. However, ve'ein mitamin negabehen. But interestingly enough, the one thing that can't happen is a kli cheres, as we mentioned before, cannot become tameh if the tameh item touches the outside of the kli. So, for example, if you were to have a sheretz that just touched, you smushed it onto the side of the kli, it's mamish sitting there, then the halacha lemaaseh is still the kli can't become tameh. Why not? Says Rashi, ve'ein mitamin migabon dichsiv el tocho, because the pasuk explicitly says when talking about tumah that tumah comes to the inside of the kli. So the Gemara says, "Ve'im tamei gabein u'shvirasan mitarasan," and the breakage of the kli is ultimately what goes ahead and is mitar the kli. Which means, under normal circumstances, you can't go ahead and be mitar. You can't purify kli cheres. There's no way to do it. You can't kasher it. You can't be mitar it. The only way you could be mitar it is hell, is if you break the kli. Because once you break the kli uses its identity, and then even if you put it back together, that's called the new kli. I will say, remember, for our purposes, breaking doesn't have to be so dramatic as totally demolishing the kli. Pretty much you have to render it unusable. And the way it's rendered unusable is if halacha lemaisa, it's no longer cave, it has a hole that's so big, the Gemara says, that the whole size of a pomegranate. Because once it has, if people have a utensil with a small hole, you could still use it. Once it has a large enough hole that it can't even contain a pomegranate, it's no longer a kli. So the Gemara says, what's our point? Kli neser kli cheres hu ditumasan shaveh. So it's clear that the Mishnah is linking kli cheres and kli neser. However, aval midi acharini lo. But other materials are not like this, which Rabosai would seem to contradict what we said before, that what? That glass is like kli cheres. Why? If glass is like kli cheres, then the Mishnah should have included that also, but it doesn't. So the Gemara says, Omri, dechi nishtabru yesh lahem takana, shavinhu kekli matachos. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that since when you go ahead and you break these utensils, they have a takana, so therefore the Chazal made it like kli matachos. Now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Yesh lahem takana la'tichon v'lachzor la'asosan kelim. See, interestingly enough, glass has something in common with metallic utensils as well, which is just like metal. can be melted down and reforged into utensils, so can glass. So because glass can be melted down and reforged into utensils, therefore Chazal made it like metal utensils. So Rabbi said, you see what's happening over here, is that because glass is not a de'araisa material, Chazal gave it certain properties of kli matachos and certain properties of kli cheres. Meaning, the whole way it gets into the parsha of Tuma and Tara is because why? It resembles kli cheres, right? Because it begins from the earth. So that gets it into the parsha. But once it's into the parsha, what the Gemara is clearly demonstrating is, we attribute it or we link it often to metal utensils. Why? Because it shares this trait with metal utensils that it can be melted down and reforged into a kli. The Gemara says, okay, if that's true, elame'ata yachziru l'tumasan yishanek kli matachos. If that's the case, then it should return to its old tuma like a metal utensil. Now, what does that mean? Take a quick look at Rashi. The tumasan yishana in nitmu. If you have a metal utensil that became tame, the nikvu, and then the utensil got a hole in it, right? The tiaru. So remember, once it gets a hole in it, then it's no longer usable. The utensil is tahar. The chazer ve'asame and kalin yachziru l'tum asam lat inan tevila. So Rabbi said, what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. If you really are going to link glass, if you're going to tell me that glass is like a metal utensil, so then just like when a metal utensil is tame, and then it's broken, and then it's put back together, it resumes its status of tuma, so too should a glass. Now where do we get that? From this nan, kli matachos, if you have a metal utensil, pshutehen umekable umakbilehen, or mekablehen tmeyen. So this is interesting. With metal utensils, pshutehen means a flat kli. Meaning this means a flat utensil that doesn't have a pronounced base kibble, that does not have a pronounced receptacle. So when it comes to metal utensils, even a kli without a receptacle, without a base kibble, is still considered to be tummy. So that's pshutehen umikablehen. Mikablehen means a utensil with a base kibble, with a receptacle with it. Tmeyen, have the ability to become tummy. Nishberu, once the utensil is quote-unquote broken, now also remember what broken, broken doesn't have to mean literally broken, but broken ultimately means what? No longer usable, whether it means literally broken or a hole so big that it precludes it from any kind of substantive use, then taru, then it becomes tar. Not because of any magical idea, but because remember the tuma is on the kli. Once the item has lost its identity as a kli, it's no longer tame. Chazer va'asamehen kalim. If you go ahead and you make kalim, you make utensils from it again, right? So meaning if now you take that metal that let's say you broke, and now you reforge a kli, chazru l'tumasan yishana. Amazingly enough, it once it becomes a kli again, it also resumes its tuma status.
Does it have the same kli?
I'm sorry?
Does it have to be the same
kli? Same material. V'ilu gabis chuchis tana. But yet, interestingly enough, we find by glass that what the Mishnah says, tanan, kli eitz ukli or ukli etzem ukli ischuchis. If you have a wooden utensil, a leather utensil, a bone utensil, or a glass utensil, pshutei and tohorin. Number one, if it's a flat utensil with no receptacle, it's not capable of receiving tumah. Umekablehen tmeyen. But if it has a receptacle, it is capable of receiving tumah. Nishberu taru. If the utensil became tamei, and then the utensil was literally broken, can't be used, then it's tar. Chazer va'asamehen kelim. But if you went ahead and remade the utensil, then mekablin tuma mikan ulahaba. The item is capable of becoming tamei from here going forward. So you must say, oh, mikan ulahaba in l'mafreya lo. Rabbi say, what do you see from here? That what's the status of glass? Glass is capable of receiving tuma from here going forward, but what? When you reforge the kli, it does not what? It does not resume its previous tuma status. So Rabbi says, what's going on over here? You just told me that halacha l'maisa, glass is treated like metal. The glass is treated like a kli matachos. But if that's the case, then halacha l'maisa, why isn't it accorded the same status over here? The same way that if you have a metal utensil and it becomes tame, and then you break down the kli, the tumah goes away. But if you reconstruct the kli, the tumah comes back. Now we haven't explained why that is yet.
So that's only a metal ware which has a receptacle, not the flat.
Correct.
And if you melt it down and then then make something else out.
Fine, fine. It doesn't matter what you're making out of it. It matters that you're using the same material. Same material. Correct. Resumes its...
You're saying that if you take the metal, melt it, so it's no longer... and you reconstruct it, it resumes its status.
Correct.
That's whether it's a base or not, right? The Mishnah said, that's whether it's
flat, where, or resumes.
Whether it's flat or...
Correct, by klimatochos. By klimatochos, correct.
I thought that's what...
Julian said, right. Correct.
Metal vessel, right? Either one, whether it's got a base or not.
Julian said the opposite. It's cool. It's
metal utensils. Let's clarify this. Metal utensils, correct. Metal utensils, whether it has a base kibul or it's pashut, the same halacha applies. If you melt it down, and then reconstruct even a different kli from that same material, it resumes its tumah status. So, the shaila, of course, now is regarding the glass. Because if we just said before that halacha lemaisa, glass is like metal, then we would assume that the status of glass would become the same over here as well, which means that halacha lemaisa, which would mean that halacha lemaisa, you would go ahead and give glass the same exact identity, which would mean that if you reforge the utensil, it should resume its tummy status as well. But yet we see that it doesn't. So how can you link glass with tumah? So the Gemara says the following. Okay, good. Thank you. So the Gemara says like this. Tumas kli zuchuches dirabanan, v'tumah yishana dirabanan. So the Gemara says like this. Well, you have to look at it like this. The tumah of a kli zuchuches to begin with is dirabanan, right? We pointed this out before. Kli zuchuches is not tumah midirabanan. So tumas kli zuchuches is midirabanan. V'tumah yishana midirabanan. And tumah yishana, which means this idea of resumption of previous tumah, right? That you go ahead and reacquire your old tumah after you reconstructed, is also dirabanan. So the Gemara says, "Doraisa achisu barabanan tuma dirabanan lo achisu lo rabanan tuma." So the Gemara gives a very simple idea. Essentially, we're not going to pile gzeros on top of gzeros. So the idea that a kli, once it's melted down or once it's broken and then reconstructed, resumes its previous state of tuma, that's a din dirabanan. So when are we going to apply that to? The rabbanon will only apply that to cases of tuma d'oraisa. But a case that to begin with is tuma d'rabanan, Chazal are not going to go ahead and attach tuma yishana to it, which would then be piling one d'rabanan on another d'rabanan. So the Gemara therefore says, in reality, glass is like metal. Glass is like metal, but it doesn't have to resemble metal in this particular case. Because since metal is d'oraisa, therefore Chazal attached the clause or the rule of tuma yishana to it, but glass, which is d'rabanan, Chazal already made it tuma d'rabanan, they're not going to attach tuma yishana, which is another d'rabanan, to it as well. To which the Gemara says the following. So again, b'tuma d'oraisa, achisu b'rabanan tuma. So again, in tuma d'oraisa, that's when Chazal attached the drabanon of tuma yishana, the tuma drabanon lo achisu barabanon tuma. But again, in tuma drabanon, which is only drabanon to begin with, like zchuches, Chazal did not attach the rabbinic tuma yishana to it. Pshutayen mia litame. So the Gemara says, but one second. At least when it comes to glass, if glass resembles metal, then let a flat glass utensil become tamei. Because why? Because after all, pshutei klimatochos doraisa ninhu. Because at least, meaning if you're going to tell me that it's like metal, then at least let it resemble metal in all its forms. And just like metal, whether it has a receptacle or it's flat, becomes tamei doraisa. So if glass is modeled after metal, then say that glass also, whether it has a receptacle or whether it's flat, should at least become a dirabanan. To which the Gemara says something very interesting. Of the Rabbanon Hekeru, ki hechi delo lisrof alayu trumu kachim. So we'll say, this is very interesting. Chazal had a particular sensitivity to this, that as much as when Chazal institutes something, in certain respects we treat it like a d'oraisa, but Chazal often wants to make sure that you realize that their laws are not d'oraisas, but are only d'rabbanons. So why is that important for you, for example? So in laws of Tumantara, the real ramification that has is in terms of burning truma. Because we spoke about already, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Avdirabanan Hekera. Well, actually, before we get to the Rashi. So we know that if Truma touches an impure utensil, the utensil that's Tameh, so under certain circumstances, that could lead to the burning of Truma. But that's only, of course, in a case of Truma Deoraisa. So the concern over here was the following. Here we're going ahead and we're making glass Tameh, right? We're making a glass Tameh Midirabanan. And in certain respects, it resembles a kli matachos, and in certain respects, it resembles a kli cheres. But what we're concerned about is that people may come to make the mistake that kli matachos is a tuma d'oraisa, and therefore, if it turns out that their truma touches a tamei kli zchuchis, a glass utensil, that what may happen, they may end up burning the truma. And that would be a very severe mistake, because you don't burn truma that has become rabbinically prohibited. So look at Rashi. So what did Chazal do? Avdi rabbanan hekera. Therefore, the rabbis in the halachos of kli zchuchis, of glass utensils, made a heker, made some type of recognizable difference in this particular area of halacha to show that it's dafka derabbanan. Take a look at Rashi. Avdi rabbanan hekera betumas kli zchuchis, in the tumah of a glass utensil, v'chilku ba mituma d'oraisa, and they dafka made it different in this one area than biblical tumah, lohodia shehimi divrehem, in order to show you that this is indeed rabbinic tumah, below yisrfu aleya truma v'kachim, and therefore you will not burn truma or kachim that comes in contact with it. The low sarfe truma mishum tuma derabanan bar minvav sfekos, which we spoke about earlier. So therefore, the Gemara says something very interesting. The Gemara says that halacha lemaisa, in order to show that zuchuchis is only derabanan, and therefore again that you should never go ahead and burn truma that comes in contact with a kli zchuchis that is derabanan, how do we remind people that it's a derabanan? By making it different than kli matachos in this one case. That whereas a kli matachos will become tamei whether it's a flat kli or it has a base kibble, glass utensils will only become tamei when it has a receptacle, a base kibble, but not pshutin. And the reason for that distinction is people say, oh, you see from here that zchuchis is derabanan, and therefore they will not end up burning truma that or kachin that comes in contact with a tamei kli zchuchis.
Isn't it true in the kli matachos if it's reestablished or remade and then it's not burnt, it's got lid loose anyway?
Correct.
Okay.
That's because it's derabanan.
Right. So why wouldn't this just be lid loose because it's derabanan? Why don't they just say for kli zchuchis it's lid loose?
Because I think the general concern there is still that if you're telling me that it's tummy in both ways, it's a strange thing to say that if it goes into the base keyboard,
so you're mistaken.
Correct. Because the only chilik you see in base keyboard versus pashut is tummy versus tahar. You don't see differences in gradations of tuma. So Rav Ashi, sorry.
If you touch the outside of a glass,
Rav Ashi Amar, let's go. That's it. Rav Ashi Amar, the Olam Likli Cheres double. So Rav Ashi says, but one second, let's go back. So now Rabosai, we're flip-flopping, right? We're flip-flopping. So on one hand, we're saying that Halacha Lemaisa, we're not flip-flopping. It's both. On one hand, again, remember, what gets Kli Cheres into the door is the notion that, excuse me, I keep saying Cheres, what gets Kli Zuchuches, glass utensil, into the door is the idea that it resembles a Kli Cheres. Right, the idea that it resembles an earthenware utensil and that it comes from the earth. But ultimately, in terms of its halakhic categorization, it seems to fit more into the category of a kli matachos. On the other hand, it's not like a kli matachos, because whereas kli matachos, both pshutein and makbilehen are tamei, with a kli zchuchis, only the makbilehen, only the receptacle is the pshutin or not. So Rav Ashi says, therefore, this leads Rav Ashi to say, you know what, I want to go back to the drawing board. Li'olam l'kli charestamu. Glass should be treated like earthenware. And Rashi says, why? Why does Rav Ashi say this? Hoil ubriyasa min achol, hilchach pshutein tahorin ve'ein bahem tuma. So Rav Ashi says, I don't understand. You're trying to figure out why glass should be like metal, but yet again, it's not like metal because pshutein are torna makbilein are tamein. Simple. Glass is like earthenware, simply because it comes from the earth, just like earthenware does, and also it resembles earthenware, because earthenware, remember, does not become tamei without a receptacle. Flat earthenware utensils do not become tamei, and then glass fits perfectly into that category. Remember why we had to go ahead and leave the earthenware comparison. The dikakashi lecha lo litmu migabon. So the Gemara says, remember, so Rav Ashi says, well, I know what bothered you about the comparison before was what? was the idea that kli cheres does not become tame from the outside. Right, that if you remember, you put the sheretz on the outside, on the smooth outside of the kli cheres. The kli cheres doesn't become tame, and yet by glass it does. That's really what forced our hand to move kli. I keep saying, I'm not saying the right words. Right, that's what forced us to move kli zechuchis over to the kli matachos category. So Rav Ashi says it's okay, I've got that covered. Hoil v'nira tocho kibaro. Rav Ashi says there's a very simple reason why the outside of the glass is treated like the inside of the glass, which is why, because it's transparent. Because it's transparent, therefore the outside is accorded the same treatment as the inside. Take a look at Rashi. We've got to finish it after. Look at Rashi. Hoil v'nira, then I'll take your question, Michael. Hoil v'nira tocho, mi bachutz, derech daf nosav, lo chashiv gav elatoch. So now Rashi says that since you could see the outside from the inside, therefore derech tafnosav lo choshev. Therefore, again, ultimately in a kli cheres, there's no consideration of this is the outside, this is the inside. Rather, Rav Ashi suggests that all of it is considered the inside, and therefore halacha lemaisa, even though it's like a kli cheres, it'll still become tamei migavon, not because it's like kli matachos, but because for this particular utensil, its outside is just like its inside. All of kli zechuchis is derabbanan. Correct. Everything here is derabbanan. So the Gemara says the following: Shimon ben Shetach, tikin k'suva li'isha. So Rav says, just you should know halacha lemaisa. That's how we pass. I mean, halavai, it should become relevant for us b'mihira b'yameinu. But in the laws of tum and tara, again, for kashrus purposes, glass is very complex in terms of what we do with it, how we treat it, is it obligated to do, should we tovel it, should we not tovel it, with a bracha, without a bracha, can it be kashered, can't it be kashered? So the great thing about glass is, no matter what you think, there's someone else who says it, right? The opinions on glass go the entire spectrum. Pesach, what do you do for, is the standard for during the year, different than it is for Pesach, but at least for the laws of Tum and Tara, halacha lemaisa, although we treat it in many respects like kli cheres, it does have this distinction from kli cheres in that it can become tameh from the outside as well, unlike a kli cheres, for the exact logic that Rav Ashi just told us. Shimon, why is it not? Oh, because for kashrus there's a different issue. For kashrus is a shaila as whether or not glass is bolea. Does glass absorb or not? That's the fundamental. So remember, the laws of kashrus are different than the laws of tum and tara. Kashrus is a din of blios, and if it's shaila, if it's bolea or not, and if it's bolea, does it emit? And if it emits, does it emit everything? That's the machlokes there. All right, so the Gemara says, So the Gemara says like this. Shimon ben Shetach tikin k'suv li'isha. So Shimon ben Shetach, remember again, the Braisa spoke about all of the different gzeros that were made. So Shimon ben Shetach is the one who instituted a ksuva for a woman, the gazer tuma akli matachos, and he decreed tuma on metal utensils. So Gemara says, what? Kli matachos doraisa ninu. What do you mean Shimon ben Shetach is the one who instituted tuma for metal utensils? That's doraisa dichsiv. Ach es hazav es hakesef. I mean, what is he going to take credit for that? Lo nitzricha. No. Elo tuma yishana. So Gemara says, no. When Shimon ben Shetach instituted tuma, Shimon ben Shetach is the one who instituted this decree of tuma yishana. This idea of both sides, that what? Then halacha lemaisa. If you have a kli that became tame, and then you quote unquote broke the kli, and then remade the kli, that the kli resumes its previous tame status. Now we haven't explained why that is, which is not what the Gemara is going
to
do.
Other metal to it when you recast it.
Different question. Right now we're not dealing with that.
Yes or no?
Machlokes. It's not relevant what we're doing now, but let's go right there. So the Gemara says the following. Once you introduce additional metals, you get into the machlokes of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim on Tesvav Amud Beis, right? About what the infusion of additional metals does. Do we go basar, and it gets then into the status, what's the source? What's the maimed? What's holding the kli together? Is one in greater proportion? So the reason I'm saying is it really opens up a whole another discussion about status of kli in general. Like the Gemara Avodah Zarah deals with this. The Gemara says it's called the kli kunya. A kli kunya was an earthenware vessel that was coated with metal. coated with metal. So the Gemara there deals with, now, how, what's the identity of that kli? That's a major discussion. Is it called an earthenware utensil because halacha l'maisa, its base is earthenware? Or do we say, no, it, because it has that coating of metal, it's called a metal utensil? So what's your, so everything depends on the relationship between the two metals. Just so you should know, it's not our topic and with this we're going on. But that actually happens to be the shaila with glazed china. Right, there's a big discussion about whether or not glazed china has to be tovel or not. Because what's the chap with glazed china? So china is earthenware. Earthenware does not need to be tovel. Right? But the glaze is glass. The glaze is glass. That's actually the case in the Gemara and Mesech Salazar of clay kunyo. That's it. So that's the shaila. Is that called the glass utensil? And in which case, at least technically speaking, it would not need tevila. Or is that called an earth? Excuse me, and it would need tevila, I'm sorry. Or is that called an earthenware utensil, which would not require tevila? All right, we'll get to Avodah Zarah in about 4 years. Well, the Mirza Shem will get to that. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says the following. All right. So now the Gemara wants to talk about where Tumah Yeshana. So now this is where Shimon ben Shetach, when he was metakein Tumah, the Gemara says it's not literally Tumas klimatechas. It's not the Tumah of metal utensils, but it's Tumah Yeshana. What happened? So the Gemara says the Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So there was an episode of Shaltzion HaMalka. Shaltzion HaMalka was one of the members of the Hashmonai family. She was the wife of King Yanai, right? And when Yanai died, she remained monarch. So from the Hashmonai dynasty, second Beis Hamikdash. So there was an episode of Shaltzion HaMalka who made a wedding for her son. And what happened? V'nitmu kol keleha. All of the utensils became tame. So Rashi says over here, Kol Kei Leha, Rashi says, Bemeis, Shai Satzricha Lahamtin Hazaz Shlishi Yushvi. So interesting, somebody died at the wedding. Somebody must have died at the wedding. So what happens if somebody died at the wedding? If you can imagine this, you're in the wedding hall, right? If a person dies in the hall, there's what? There's Tumas Ohel. Tumas Ohel is metame everything inside the wedding hall. So now it's got a big problem. Now remember, I will say, because it's Tumas Meis, remember Tumas Meis is not just simple. It's not like the Sheretz ran into something. That's a little easier to rectify. Tumas Meis is a 7-day purification process with sprinklings on day number 3 and number 7. So what did she do? It's a smart lady. Vishavrasan, unas nosan letzoref, v'rischan, v'asamehen kelin chadoshim. So she's a very smart lady. So it took a little bit of time, but instead what did she do? She had all the utensils melted down, and reforged. Because remember, what does that do? So by going ahead and essentially, quote-unquote, breaking the kli, that goes and takes away the tumah status, and then you rebuild it. And then again, as much time as that takes, it's going to take less than a week. And therefore, again, you have Torah utensils to use. However, va'amru chachamim, when the chachamim saw this, they said, yachzeru l'tum asan yishana. It is after that episode that they decreed that when you do that to a kli, the kli resumes. When you do that to a metal kli, the kli resumes its previous tumah status. Why? So again, the Gemara is saying was this episode of Shaltzion HaMalka where they did this en masse that led Chazal to legislate this idea that when you break down, quote-unquote, a metal utensil and rebuild it, halacha l'maisa, it resumes its former tumah status. My taima, mishum geder mechatos naguba. It's very interesting. They did it in order to preserve the concept of mechatos. Look at Rashi. Geder mechatos. Nimtzu mechatos betelim. She'im lecha odom mamtin zayin yamim el shovron v'tishtachach toras mechatos. There was a concern, Rabbo said, that what will happen? People will forget about mechatos is the para aduma. That if everyone just uses this idea of just quote unquote breaking the kli and then refashioning it as a way of going ahead and escaping tuma, then halacha lemaisa, the institution of mechatos, will be forgotten. Therefore, Chazal, as a way of preserving the institution of para aduma of mechatos, went ahead and rabbinically, where goes there, that when you break down your kli and reforge it, halacha lemaisa, it resumes its previous tumah. So the Gemara says, "Hani chalamanda amar lo lachala tumah lo lachala tumos amru elu tumas meis bilvad amru shapir." So the Gemara says, "Well, this story and this narrative makes sense according to the ones who say that Chazal were not gozer tumah yeshana on every type of tumah, but only on what? only a tumas meis. Only a tumas meis, because that makes sense, because then if the whole idea was that they were concerned that the concept of para aduma will be forgotten, para aduma is only by meis. It's not by other forms of tumah. So then it makes sense, Chazal were gold over here, because they didn't want para aduma to be forgotten. Elaman do amar. And therefore again, the gzera of tumah yeshana will only apply to tumas meis, not to other forms of tumah. Elaman do amar lechalat tumas amru, ma'ikel neimar. But according to the Adarma, who holds that the gzera of tumah yeshana rabosai applies to all forms of tumah, that however your utensil became tameh, if you break it down and reforge it, right, it then resumes its previous status of tumah. Michael, remember, what is there to be said? Ela amar abaye, because remember, rabosai, obviously, if it applies to other forms of tumah, you can't say that Chazal legislated that for the sake of preserving para aduma, when para aduma would not apply to these other forms of tumah. Ela, so the amar abaye, Gzeira Shema Loikaven and Bechdei Taraso. Oh, you know what the concern is about saying? Sabai says the concern was that people will not go ahead literally and pierce it in a way that makes it tahor. Rashi says, Bichdei Taraso Kimotzi Rimon. So we'll say, remember, when we talk about breaking it down, as we mentioned the entire time, it doesn't require you to literally melt down the utensil. What it requires you is to make the utensil totally unusable. For a kli, what does that mean? It means making it the size of a rimon, the size of a pomegranate, because then the kli is not useful for anything. Sabaye says that Chazal had a different concern. What was their concern? That people will not make the hole big enough, right? That people are just going to make a hole in the utensil. I'll say, it's broken. They're not going to make it big enough. And remember, Rosa, the problem is, if they don't make it big enough, then what? Then what? It's still a kli, which means what? That really its tumah status midoraisa is still there. So in order to go ahead, and essentially it's a halachic fail-safe. Because we're concerned people won't make a big enough hole to run into the utensil, unfit to be a utensil, therefore Chazal goes there, that even if you make a hole and put it together, the tumah yishana comes back on it. So the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Rava said, there's another reason. Gezeira shema yomru tvila bas yoma olala. Rava says there's another reason, which is that people may say that tevila, immersion, even on that day, works to purify the utensil. What does that mean? Look at Rashi Bas Yoma, below Her of Shemesh, without nightfall. Sha'aroa shenitmu'u u'mishtamshin bohen bo bayom ve'im yodeh shenishperu sover shedvilum. It's actually very interesting. So Rava says the concern is like this, that if people know that my utensil became tamei, and then what? And then they see me using it that same day, they don't know that I broke it, and therefore it became tahor, and I put it back together and it's still tahor. They could just as easily assume what? I took it to the mikvah, and you see from what? That tevila in a mikvah works immediately. Rabbi said, we know that's not true. Halacha lemaisa, in order for tevila in a mikvah to go ahead and purify the utensil, you need heref shemesh. You could take it during the day, but it does not become tahor until that night. So Rava says, halacha lemaisa, that's the gzera. That's where concerned again that people are going to see this quick turnaround process from tumah to tahara. They're going to assume, oh, you must take it into the mikvah. You don't have to wait until nightfall. And therefore, chazal goes to tumah yishana. So the Gemara says, my benai, what's the path? Difference between these cases, between these opinions, I should say. So, Rabosai, what comes out is we have three basic approaches. Either A, to safeguard the concept of, so with three different understandings of why we have Tumah Yishana. Either A, to safeguard the concept of Paraduma, because if you could just be Matari utensil like this, no one's going to use Paraduma. The problem with that, of course, is that it only applies to Tumas of Tumas Meis. That leads then to Abaye's approach, that halacha lemaisa we're concerned that people will not pierce the kli sufficiently to render it unfit to be a kli, or Rava's approach that people will think, others will think, that halacha lemaisa, the way I was matir my kli was by taking it to the mikvah, and people will think that therefore the mikvah works immediately that day, you don't have to wait till the night time. My benai, what's the practical difference? Ika benaihu deratzfinhu miratzef. It's interesting, if you take a look at Rashi for just a moment over here, deratzfinhu miratzef, Rashi says, herikon vishavran kulan, where you totally broke down the utensils. You also remember, we've used broke in a very liberal fashion. But what happens if you literally smash down the utensil? Melt down the utensil. Kima ma'acholos ritzufa, shema lo yikavena. So take a look at the last part of Rashi. Rashi has an ika, vi'ika da'amri, shema lo yikavena, ika da'amri, shema lo yikavenu, Iga, Shema Yomru Leka, Daha Minkar Asiya Shnes Chadesh Kulo, Vize Nira Be'enai. So Rashi says the nafkamini would be in the following case, Rabosai, where what happens if Halacha Lemaisa, you totally melted down the Kli. Now, the assumption is when you totally melt down a utensil, so even if you try to refashion it into the same utensil, it's what? It's not going to look exactly the same. It's never going to look exactly the same. So the fact that now you have a new utensil or a somewhat new utensil is going to be apparent. If that's the case, says Rashi, Shema loi kavena ika, then halacha lemaisa, a concern that people will say that maybe you took it to the mikvah during the day and you didn't wait until Harav Shemesh, that concern won't apply because it's clear that what? It's clear that you have refashioned the utensil. But the concern that people may not break the kli enough, that concern still does apply. All right? So that would be the nafgamina between the two approaches of Abaye and Rabbah. Let's do a little bit tighter. V'idach mahi, what's the other one of the gzeros? The 18 gzeros. Disnan hamaniach kelim tachas hatzinor. If one went ahead and put a utensil underneath a pipe, lekabel behen megishamim, echad kelim gidolim ve'echad kelim kitanim, large utensils or small utensils, va'afilu klei avanim, even stone utensils, klei adama, earthen utensils, klei gelolim. Now, klei adama, by the way, is different than klei cheres, right? Klei cheres is earthenware utensil, and klei adama is what they call mudware. It would seem to be that the simple dispute is that kli adama is hardened just by drying out in the sun versus kli cheres, which is put in a kiln, right, which is ultimately fired up in an oven. So kli adama, kli gilalim is that they used to fashion utensils out of animal waste. Poslin esam, don't try that at home, right? Poslin esam mikvah. So these waters go ahead and pass on mikvah. So we'll say, what's the case over here? You're putting a utensil underneath a pipe that's going to put rainwater into your utensil. Put rainwater into your utensil. So whether it's large utensils, small utensils, whatever material of the utensils, whether you put it there or whether you put it there and remembered it or put it there and forgot it, the halacha is that water is called mayim she'uvin. That water is called drawn water. This is the position of Beis Shammai. If you were to introduce that into a mikvah of less than 40 sa'ah, that would invalidate the mikvah. So the Gemara says, Beis Hillel metaren, b'shochech. Beis Hillel says that if you forget about the kli, then halacha lemaisa, the water in there is not called mayim shuvin. Rabosai, what the Gemara is going to point out, and you'll see this more in tomorrow's daf, but the Gemara is pointing out over here that in order to be called mayim shuvin, in order to be called drawn water, a person has to have kavana for that water. Person has to have kavana for that water accumulating in the utensil. Let's just do one more line and we'll stop. I'm Rabbi Meir. Mimnu of Rabbi Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Rabbi Meir says that Beis Shammai outnumbered Beis Hillel. Umodin Beis Shammai b'shocheach b'chotzer shu tahar. But Beis Shammai agrees in a case of where you left the utensil in the chotzer, and let's say the utensil is just stam gathering rainwater, that's not called mayim shuvin. And if you were to introduce that into a mikvah, then halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa, it would not render the mikvah invalid. I think we'll pick up more time. Just a reminder that tomorrow.